As we come to our time in study of God's Word tonight, let me invite you to open your Bible with me again to the book of Nehemiah and the 9th chapter, Nehemiah chapter 9 this evening. We have been studying together this book under the theme, Determined to Do God's Work. This book records for us the work of a man of God, Nehemiah, who by faith sought to restore the city of God to its former glory. Nehemiah was a man of faith and action who understood the importance of dependence upon the Lord. God had used him to rebuild the city walls again, which not only provided protection for the citizens of Jerusalem from outside danger, but it would also provide for them the blessing within the city itself. Last Sunday evening, as we consider our study of chapter 8, we understood that there was a change taking place in this story, in this study. With the work of the walls now complete, the leadership under Nehemiah and Ezra sought to enact much-needed spiritual reforms. There was now a renewed desire for the Lord God of Israel. There was a desire now again for the Word of God. And no chapter better bears for us the record of this renewed desire for the Lord than chapter 9. The theme and the main subject of this chapter, which records the repentance and the confession of the people of God, is really Jehovah God. If you were to take the time to read through every verse of chapter 9 together tonight, you would find over and over again that the focus and the emphasis on the people's mind is on Jehovah. It is on the Lord Himself. As they saw Him for who He was, they willingly and openly would confess their sin before the Lord. In Nehemiah chapter 9, there are three things which the children of Israel saw about their God that would help them as they would begin a time of spiritual renewal, a time of revival. I want you to follow along as I begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 9. And I'm just going to warn you again, as we get to some of these names, we're going to jump around some of them just because sometimes it just makes it a little bit more difficult. You can go home and you can wrestle through how to pronounce all those things on your own, okay? But I don't like stuttering over those names, so I just kind of jump over them. I believe those names are recorded for a good reason and a purpose, but not for my reading. How's that, okay? So follow along as I begin reading in verse 1. Now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloths and a earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquity of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read the book of the law of the Lord, their God, one fourth part of the day, and another fourth part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Then stood up upon the stairs of the Levites, Jeshua, jump down now, and it says, and he cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. As you go down to the middle of verse 5, it says, this is what they said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven and the heaven of heavens, with all of their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Thou art the Lord, the God who chose Abraham and broughtest him out of the Ur of the Chaldees and gavest him the name of Abraham. And foundest his heart faithful before thee, and madest a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it, I say, to his seed, and hast performed thy words, for thou art righteous, and didst see the affliction of the fathers in Egypt, and heardest their cries by the Red Sea, and showedest signs and wonders unto Pharaoh, and on all his servants, and on all the people of his land. For thou knewest that they dwelt proudly against them. So didst thou get thee a name, as it is this day. And thou didst divide the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on dry land, and their persecutors thou threwest into the deeps, as a stone into the mighty waters. Moreover, thou ledest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by a pillar of fire, and gave them light in the way wherein they should go. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant, and gavest them bread from heaven for their hunger, and broughtest forth water for them out of the rock of their thirst, and promised them that they should go in to possess the land which thou hast sworn to give them. But they and our fathers dealt proudly, and hardened their necks, and hearkened not unto thy commandments. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask and pray this evening as we come and we consider together this passage of Scripture, that you would teach us and help us, that you would give us understanding. Lord, there's a need today in our own day to know revival, to know the blessing of our God yet again, to see you work within our hearts and to renew within us and restore to us the joy of our salvation, that you would use your people to be a light in this dark world, that we would be salt of the earth, that, Lord, we be used to bring others to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that we would be a people of honor, a people well-pleasing in your sight. So, Father, I pray tonight that as we come to the Word of God, we would see ourselves clearly as we see Thee. And, Lord, we'll thank You and praise You for it. And may, Father, it have the same effect it had upon the people of Israel of this day, in which they were willing to come and confess their own sin and bow before the Lord and make things right, that they might be a people of blessing. So, Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for our time together this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. In Nehemiah chapter 9, again, the theme that is before us is the very theme of God. We realize that there has been a change in Israel. The walls have been built. The people are now protected. And God is now beginning to stir through the leading of Nehemiah and the leading of Ezra to bring about spiritual change, to bring about revival, reform amongst the people. That work began last week as they would again have a renewed desire for the Word of God, that they would call for the law to be brought and to be read in their presence. And we'll remember that last week as we consider chapter 8, that there was a time that in this month, this seventh month, that there was to be a time of feasting, a time of great rejoicing for the Lord's deliverance and all that He had done for them. As we now come to chapter 9, we find that in these first three verses, we have those events that directly follow that Feast of the Tabernacles. In that seventh month, after that time of great celebration, that time of remembrance, in which God had greatly blessed the people of God, they have now set aside more time to reflect, to repent, and to remember. Notice with me what it says again in verse 1. Now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting, with sackcloths, and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God 1/4 part of the day, and another 1/4 part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God. Again, we find the people of Israel with this renewed desire to draw closer to their God. They had stood and heard the law being read unto them. They had celebrated the Feast of the Tabernacles, which ended on the 21st day of the month. And now they stand here on the 24th day, assembled again, that they might hear the words of God. What an attitude of their heart, desiring to be where God's word might be, desiring to hear from the Lord that they might be right in the eyes of Almighty God. Again, I wonder how we would respond to such desire and such services. So many of the different commentaries that I read, and many of the commentaries from men of years gone by, made the same comment over and over again. You know, years ago, it used to be in churches that we would have week-long and two-week-long and month-long services for revival, for the emphasis of the preaching of the Word of God, where people would come out night after night after night, that they would hear the Word of God proclaimed, where the gospel could be preached. Note the pattern of our day is today. That revival services are to take place on 2 to 3 days. If we can get it into a short weekend, that'd be a whole lot better. Because the less time we have to put in, it's a whole lot better for us. We're not willing to make such commitments in our generation. But the people of Israel were. They gathered together again on the 24th day of the month, that they might hear the word of God as it is read. They desired to hear the word of the Lord. And they asked that it be read again. The law of God was read and explained to them. With that feasting now over, we now find the Jews fasting. Sometimes we don't quite understand what fasting is really all about. You know, if you break fasting down, it's simply this. When we take the time to fast, what we're really doing is willing to put aside our material, physical needs for more important needs of the heart and spirit. It's the desire that we want to be so close to the Lord, that we want to understand His Word more, that we want Him to do a work within our heart, that the things such as food and water and the necessary things that we're so used to having, those needs aren't that important any longer. Getting a hold of God and God getting hold of us is more important. And we find the people of Israel there fasting, desiring to know more of their God. They had come to understand that their material needs were nothing compared to getting to know the great God whom they served. We also find within them a spirit of repentance, broken over their sin. Again, verse 3 says, they stood in their place, they heard the law read for a fourth part of the day, and the next fourth part of the day, they would repent and confess their sin. As a people, they would take the hours to repent and confess their sin. They came with a spirit of worship and to bow their hearts before the Lord their God. As we come now to consider what it was that they saw in their God, there are three things that this chapter points out to us. And the first six verses point out to us that the reason these things existed, the reason there was this renewed desire for the Word of God, this renewed desire to repent of their sin and draw closer to the Lord, willing to fast and spend all that time with the Lord, was because in that time, as they heard the law read, they understood, first of all, the greatness of their God. They had seen Him afresh and anew, and they understood that their God was great. They had heard the Word of God, and they learned more of Him and became consumed with His greatness. And the first six verses really point those truths out. The first way we know that they were consumed with His greatness is simply this. His greatness is seen in their worship of Him. There was a willingness to worship Him. They assembled that they might hear the word of the Lord read. They stood as it was read in honor of the word of God. But they didn't only listen to it being read, they were willing to respond to it. They allowed the Word of God to impact their lives. They were willing then to confess their sin. As God would speak to them, they in turn responded to Him in worship. Now, as you and I gather together week after week, as we come to the study of God's Word, it's His desire to speak unto us. He wants to communicate His truth to you and to me. I hope we truly comprehend that as we gather together week after week.
If we allow what we do to be religion, then it can be understood that this is my opinion being expressed to you, things that I think you need to know and understand that would help you. But in essence, if we understand preaching of the Word of God, it is God speaking to us through His Word, and us willing to respond to His teaching and His instruction. And the people of God would express their thought of His greatness because they were willing to worship Him. As we come to these verses, we understand that the worship included the hearing of the Word of God. It included confessing their sin. We find prayer and praise of the Lord. And verse 2 also tells us that they separated themselves from all things that displeased the Lord. They came as they understood His greatness, that they might worship Him. They desired to hear from them. They were willing to confess their sin. They were willing to pray and willing to praise His name. And they willingly separated themselves from all things that would be displeasing unto their great God. As you come to verse 4, all the way through the rest of the chapter, what we find is simply this. There is a recorded prayer of the Levites, those that were leading in the worship, and we find their prayer recorded for us. Some have suggested that this is the longest recorded prayer in the Scriptures. This prayer shows to us again why God is so great. He was great because of their desire to worship Him, but His greatness is also seen in their declarations. I want you to look at verse 6. Because here we find the beginning of really of that prayer. In verse 5, they're told to stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all. Blessed in praise. That was their exhortation. Now hear their prayer. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. What do we see of the greatness of God in the beginning of this prayer? First of all, they declare God to be God alone. He is God alone. The Jews as a nation were surrounded by nations that are overrun and consumed with idolatry. Their pagan lifestyles were an abomination unto the Lord. Yet the Levites in their prayer recognized that God, Jehovah God, is God alone. There is none like unto Him. There is no other God. And in their prayer, they're recognizing in their own heart, there is none other but Thee and Thee alone. He is great because there is no other God. Folks, there is only one God, and His name is Jehovah. There is no other God but Him. And He alone is worthy of our worship, for He is great in that He is God alone. Sometimes I think in our conversations we somewhat talk about God as one of many gods. We recognize in our theology that there is no other God, but sometimes we almost talk as if there's a second God. We almost talk as Satan as somewhat of a lesser God. He is no God. He does not compare to our God. There is no rival to our God. He is God alone. There is none else. And the Levites recognized Him as God alone. The Old Testament, so many times God would declare that He alone is God, and besides Him there is none else. The Levites and all of Israel accept that truth and declare that because He is God alone, He is great. They also declared His greatness because He is their Creator. Look at again the second part of verse 6. Thou hast made heaven the heaven of heavens and all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein. They recognized Him as Creator. We ought to confess His greatness because He alone made us and not we ourselves. He made all things in heaven and earth, things visible and things invisible. All creation declares His glory, does it not? Psalm 19 says it does. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no voice where their language is not heard. The heavens declare the glory of God. They represent and share to us that there is none like unto Him, for He alone is the Creator. He made all things, visible and invisible. All the host of heaven God has made. All the things within the earth and the seas He has made. He made you and He made me. He is the Creator, and therefore His greatness should be declared. And the Levites declared His greatness because He alone is their Creator. The third part of that verse, it reminds us that He is also the sustainer of all things. Wherein it says, Thou preservest them all. It is the Lord who preserves, who sustains all things. By His providence, He holds all things together. He sustains all life. There is none greater than the Lord our God. The final part of verse 6 reminds us that He is declared to be great because even the host of heaven worship Him. Now, to be honest, that's saying something for the Jew. They held in very high esteem the heavenly host. That to them was a marvelous thing if an angel would come and declare something to you. They had high esteem for the angels. And yet the Levites in their prayer would declare God's greatness because the angels worship Him. That immediately takes my mind to Isaiah chapter 6, where we see the seraphims. And there they sit about the throne of God, and they proclaim and worship Him, for He who is holy, 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 holy is the Lord of hosts. With two wings they cover their face, with two wings they cover their feet, and with two they cry, they fly, and with a loud voice they proclaim His holiness. They worship the Lord God. So ought we to worship Him, for He is great. Beloved, if there's ever to be true and lasting change in our lives, if there's ever to be known the blessings of true revival, then we must seek to understand and see again, afresh and anew, the greatness of our God. Sometimes I think that thought becomes almost commonplace to us. The thought of Him as our Creator and sustainer of all things. He is God alone. It's such a part of our rhetoric and such a part of our theology, but it isn't really a part of our living. And what was taking place in the life of the Levites and the life of the people is they came again to the Word of God, and as they heard the law of God read, their heart was stricken with this truth. He alone is great. And because of their greatness, they were willing to fall and repent of their sin because they saw that they were nothing compared to the very greatness of Almighty God. We need to have that vision of the greatness of God again, renewed and restored within our own heart and life. When we see Him in His greatness, we will understand our own frailty and know that we are nothing. There's a need for us to come to the end of ourselves and see only the Lord Jesus Christ and God Himself. That's when revival and repentance come. It came as they saw His greatness. Beginning in verse 7, though, there's another theme about their God. Not only the greatness of their God, but now there is the declarations of His goodness. We not only need to see a God who is great, we also need to see and believe in a God who is good. Some 16 times in the rest of this prayer, we'll find in some form or another the word give. And the concept that the Levites are seeking to promote is this, that our God gives unto His people. He is a giving God. He is a God who is good. I think of the words of James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. All goodness stems from God. He is the one who gives us all things. Our God is a God who is good and a God who gives unto His people. The New Testament teaches us that God so loved the world that He gave us His Son. And He delights to do good unto His children. We serve a God who is good. Have you tasted and seen lately that the Lord is good? Sometimes we get so wrapped up in all the problems of life. We look at all the things that bring us stress. I looked at a friend's post this week or last week on Facebook. They said that the word desserts is simply stress spelled backwards. That's how they dealt with their stress of life. You just spend time with the desserts. You know what's a better scenario, a better help in the times of stress? Is to remember that we serve a God that is good, who delights to give good things unto His children. We serve a God who is good. Moses, in his final challenge to the children of Israel before his death, would challenge them not to forget the goodness of God when they entered into the land of promise. When they overtook that place and they would begin to live in houses that they did not build and eat of vineyards that they did not plant, he would remind them, don't forget the goodness of God. And the Levites now in this prayer rehearse the goodness of the Lord to His people. And really what you find is almost a synopsis of their history. We won't look at all the verses together tonight. We're going to give you the highlights of their history and the goodness of God. They begin by reminding themselves as they pray to the Lord, the goodness of God and the forming of the nation. That's really verses 7 down through verse 18. Verse 7 says, Thou art the Lord, the God who didst choose Abram, and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees, and gavest him the name of Abraham. They remember the goodness of the Lord in the forming of the nation. It was the gracious hand of God that chose Abram. And it was only by the goodness of God that Abram, who lived in Ur of the Chaldees, an idolatrous people, would be chosen to become Abraham, the father of many nations, and that through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. That was God's goodness in choosing and selecting him. God called Abraham. He made Abraham great. He made his covenant with Abraham and with his descendants. He chose to send the blessing of Messiah through the people of Israel. It was God who chose them, and God that would reveal himself to them. You know, you and I should never forget that it was by God's gracious hand that he chose us, that he elected us and called us to himself. He convicted us of our sin. He made His salvation known unto us. With that, folks, you and I ought to be able to say, truly God is good. Yet we sometimes forget the very goodness of God, but He was the one who chose the nation of Israel. He didn't have to choose Abraham, but He did by His gracious hand. He chose him and He blessed him of His own free will, of His goodness. And the Levites rehearse that goodness of God in the forming of their nation. They also recognize again that His goodness is seen in His leading of the nation. Look at verse 12. Moreover, Thou leddest them in the day by a cloudy pillar, and in the night by the pillar of fire, to give them light in the way wherein Thou shouldst go. Look at verse 19. Yet Thou in the manifold mercies forsook them not in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. Thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water for their thirst. Yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. Moreover, thou gavest them the kingdoms and nations, and divide them into corners, so they possessed the land of Shiloh, and the land of the kings of Heshbon, and the land of Og, king of Bashan. God was one that would lead the nation. The Levites recognized in their prayer their willingness of God, His goodness in leading them. He called them out, and now He would lead them. It was God that would bring them up out of the land of Egypt and take them to the land that He had promised unto Abraham. It is God that would direct them through the wilderness and through the Red Sea. It was God that would deliver them and guide them each and every step of the way, with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He would guide them every step of the way. And as they had need, He met their every need. He provided manna and He provided water for their nourishment. Their God led them. And He led them even though they as a people were unfaithful. For 40 years in the wilderness, He continued to lead them. Why were they 40 years in the wilderness? Because they came to the brink of the promised land and they said, "You know what, Moses? I don't think we like your leadership anymore. We're going to go find us another leader that will take us back to Egypt. We're not following you any longer. We're not entering over into that land. It's a land filled with giants. Forget it, Moses." But God was faithful, and that cloud never departed. The fire never left. He led them all the way. And the Levites rehearsed the goodness of God in not forsaking the people and leading them. Think about the verses which folks declared to you and I, that our God leads us every step of the way. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Our God leads us all the way. Psalm 32:8, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." I think of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He'll give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." Our God is good, and He guides us every step of the way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand." Our God leads us day by day. We serve a God who is truly good. We need to be reminded of that goodness. His goodness is also seen in the chastening of the nation of Israel. The chastening of that nation that really begins in verse 23. It goes down through verse 30, and in those verses, they would be reminded how God had chastened them when they forsook Him. As the people of Israel entered into the promised land, they delighted and enjoyed the bounty and the blessings of God. They entered into houses that they had not built and vineyards that they had not planted. They partook of their fruit. Oh, they loved the bounty and the blessings of the Lord. They delighted in His goodness, but they forgot to delight in Him. Soon, they would fall away. And it says that they would cast the law behind their backs. Look at verse 26. Even though God had been good and they possessed these houses that they had never yet built, verse 26 says, nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee and cast thy law behind their backs and slew thy prophets which testified against them to turn them to thee. And they wrought great provocations. Verse 27 then says, therefore thou deliverest them into the hand of their enemies. He chastened them. They rebelled against him, but in his great love and goodness, he would never let them go. He would chasten them. What a blessing it is to read, is it not, when you come to Hebrews 12, that whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Because we love family and those in the body of Christ, we're willing to go to them and say, you know, I see something within your life and I don't think it's all that good. That's a sign of love. The Bible says that he who spares the rod spoils a child, and that father hates the son. But a father that loves the son will bring upon them correction, and the son ought to learn not to hate that chastening of a loving father. And the Bible tells us that our Heavenly Father chastens those whom he loves. Folks, if there's ever going to be true lasting revival, we can't forget the Lord our God and forget his blessings and his benefits. He has blessed us, as the Bible says, with all spiritual blessings. He is great and he is good. Therefore, we ought to exalt his name forever. There's one final thought that the Levites point out, and that is this. Not only is there the greatness of God, the goodness of God, there is the grace of God. The final thought is simply stated in verse 31. The Levites say, nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God. The Levites would acknowledge the grace of God. He had truly not given them what they deserved. He had shown his unmerited favor. He was faithful when they were unfaithful. He could have and should have consumed them for their sin. But he was long-suffering to them, and he forgave them of their sins. Truly, our God, folks, is gracious. We are undeserving of any merit. All we like sheep went astray. We turned everyone to our own way. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. We did that which was right in our own eyes and still often do. Yet God is long-suffering to usward. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the Bible says he'll remember our sins no more. We serve a God who is gracious to his people. Great is his faithfulness, as Lamentation says. It is in light of that God. It is because they saw him in his greatness, in his goodness, and his grace, that we find them in chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, gathering together again to hear the word of the Lord. And as it was read for a fourth part of the day, they would take the next fourth part of the day and confess their sin. They would place themselves in sackcloth and ashes. They would separate themselves from all that was evil and all that would be displeasing to God, because they saw God for who he was and recognized who they were in light of him. True worship always exalts the Lord. True worship always honors him. True worship always focuses on God and him alone. He is great and he is good and he is gracious. And yet so often we are prone to forget such truth. It becomes commonplace for us. We come and we gather together and we have the wonderful blessing of his word. We have it before us. We can read it whenever we want. And yet we don't read it all that much. We can hear it proclaimed, and it's not just once the week or once the month. It's 3 to 4 times a week that we have an opportunity to come and allow the Word of God to be taught and instructed to us. And yet we don't seem to have the time to come and hear it taught and instructed to us. And while we're here, sometimes we can find ourselves doing so many other things. We can be planning and we can be talking and we can be doing everything else. And the Word of God doesn't seem to have its place because we've forgotten the God whom we serve. There was revival in Nehemiah's day because there was a renewed emphasis upon their God. They saw Him as great and good and gracious. And they said, I want to know more of Him. Bring back the law. The feasting was over. Their obligations were done. But yet on the 24th day, they assembled together and said, bring back the law of God and read it more. And as they heard the word of God, they fasted, they prayed, they confessed their sin and exalted His name. What a glorious and wonderful prayer of the Levites. We didn't have the time to look at it verse by verse by verse. That would take us weeks. I encourage you to look at it this week. Read through it this week. And you'll see over and over again that the emphasis in that prayer is on God. And that needs to be our emphasis day by day. On God, the God in whom we serve, great, good, and gracious. Let's pray.